A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hi, and welcome back to another episode of Digital Spy's Soap Scoop. Each week, we speak to some of our favourite people from the world of soaps before digging into the biggest spoilers from Coronation Street, Hollyoaks, Emmerdale and EastEnders for the week ahead. I'm your host, Ali, and I'm joined, as always, by Sophie.
Hiya!
How are you doing this week, Sophie?
Yeah, good, thank you. I know I say every week, but I can't believe we are on episode 5 now.
I know,
it's going
fun,
so fast.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really glad, obviously, you're... The episode before the one that you're listening to now was our interview with Alan Fletcher, which people seem to have really enjoyed. So I'm really glad to see that people enjoyed our conversation with him.
Yeah, from everyone loves a bit of Dr. Carl, don't they?
I know, honestly. And so, yeah, this week's interview, we're staying in the kind of doctor theme. This week we spoke to Charles Venn, or Chuck, from Casualty. And he was a joy as always, although I wasn't present, but Sophie, you kind of had a natter to him, didn't you?
Yes. Oh, yeah, I forgot you had an internet malfunction.
Yeah, a crisis.
Yeah, it feels like so long ago now. Yeah, there is a doctor theme going on, isn't there? So, yes, Charles obviously plays Jacob in Casualty. They are now back filming, which is really exciting. So we had a good old natter about that. And we even covered a 35th anniversary and his time in Strictly. So, yeah, it was great.
Good, yeah. I mean, it seems like, next week, obviously, we've got the 25th anniversary of Hollyoaks. And then at the beginning of this year, we had EastEnders' big anniversary. So it seems like the kind of, we seem to be hitting a few of these big milestones for some of our favourite shows. So that's always exciting.
Yeah, there's a Corrie anniversary as well coming up in December. Yeah, it's the time of anniversaries.
Okay, well, with that in mind, I will hand you over to Sophie and Charles. Enjoy.
Hi, Charles. How are you?
Hello, Sophie. I'm very well. How are you doing? You all right?
Yeah, good, thank you. Thank you
very
so much
good.
For joining us on the show.
Thank you for inviting me. Good times.
So what has it been like going back to filming after all these months?
Wow. What's it been like? It's been challenging, revealing, testing, exciting to a degree, because obviously I knew there was going to be definitely some interesting obstacles we kind of had to get over. So it's definitely been all of that. I think it's all just all encapsulated in those words, man, those feelings. Strange. But yeah, we're here.
Is it good to see everyone again? It must be so nice.
Yeah, it's great. It's great, honestly, you know. I became almost somewhat used to seeing my colleagues, my friends on Zoom, you know, digitally. So to actually finally see them in the flesh, albeit we couldn't actually hug and, you know what I mean, and you really greet each other intimately in that sense. It's been great, man. It's been great, honestly. 5.5 months out, it's just surreal. Really,
it's a
surreal.
Long time. It's so weird seeing everyone on Zoom. I can't imagine what it's going to be like when you suddenly see everyone again.
Man, it's strange, I can safely tell you, honestly, Soph. You don't know what to do with yourself. Like a little poodle.
Especially as you can't hug. You're like, hi.
That's baby. What I'm saying, you know? You've kind of been away having to unlearn what you've learned for your last, you know, in my case, 40-something odd years. Oh, maybe 30. But, you know, it's just like, it's so strange to suddenly now, yeah, just not be able to do these things that come so naturally to you. Really strange.
So, obviously, I know Casualty film about 4 months in advance. So there's obviously a very strange time when, sort of through the spring and the summer, where the pandemic was going on, but obviously it wasn't being reflected on screen, even though it was an ED. So we know now that Casualty and Holby are both doing special coronavirus episodes. So do you think that's important to reflect what's been happening in the real world?
It's hugely important for Casualty and Holby to you know, to reflect these times. It's hugely requisite because, you know, we are the flagship show. We are the leading medical dramas on you know, UK television. So it's incumbent, you know, upon us to at least reflect those times. You know, you're talking about one of the most significant moments in history. Dare I even say that would rival some of the major conflicts that have happened in this country. Do you understand? You know, we've never had anything like this, and God willing, we never have something like this again. Mm. So, it would be remiss of us not to acknowledge that, you know, and mark it to it. It's weird. I don't want to say you're paying homage to it, because it's certainly not that. But, you know, for all the people that have lost, you know, loved ones during this time, it was a must that we reflected that. We
had. Yeah, to. I agree. I think not to reflect it would be very strange.
It would be very strange. You can, no way can you go onto a show as Casualty or Holby City, you know, their shows were of such magnitude. To sort of just kind of ignore it and pretend like the world is just getting on with it, if you will. Mm. No. I wouldn't have felt comfortable with that. So, And I think, you know, we actually shot that particular episode, you know, our first episode. And, you know, I think it's something special. It's a real tearjerker, roller coaster of an episode.
So let's talk about that Jacob and Connie cliffhanger. Few weeks ago now, but I know this is something that you and Amanda have been wanting, I think, for a while. So what was your reaction when you found out?
You know, I tried to jump onto the ceiling like Spider-Man, but I failed miserably. I was really, really excited. I thought, yes, about damn time. You know, the audience, you know, have really made their feelings very clear on social media, you know, that they wanted this to happen, you know, Joni. It was like a mantra. Everybody was just gagging for this. So when we got wind that it was going to finally happen, you know, they were going to potentially reconcile, I was like, yeah, you know, and Amanda felt the same, you know what I mean? And we just knew we're going to definitely give them something to give the audience what they want.
I mean, it's a weird one, isn't it? Because they broke up about 4 years ago. I couldn't believe it, actually. I had to look that up. At the time, it was 2016, and they haven't really had much to do with each other since, have they? They've sort of been going down different, very different paths. So it's been a long time coming.
Very much so. It has been a long time. I mean, absolutely. They've you know, they're kind of in a way. It's funny, isn't it? Relationships sometimes, but not sometimes. It's quite binary. Either you remain friends, or you just completely distance yourself. It's one of the two. That's how relationships, broken up relationships, long-term relationships tend to go. And in their case, they've decided that, you know what, yes, we're working in the same environment. Jacob has decided not to move on or go to another hospital. He loves working in Holby. And as far as he's concerned, we're going to make this work. We're both adults, we're both professionals, and we'll get on with it. And they have been, you know, cordial and respectful to each other. Remain friends as best possible, and that's just how it's been since, you know what I mean? They have to work in recess, you know, and they cross each other's paths in the corridors and whatnot. So so really, in many ways, they've just gotten on with it.
I mean, she's very much the one that got away, I think, for Jacob, isn't she? Do you think that there was always something there for him? Absolutely. Even when he was dating other people, do you think she was still the one?
Connie was always the main flame for Jacob, 100%, you know what I mean, regardless. And I think in many ways, I think that Connie, you know, definitely thought that, yeah, there'd be that little modicum of jealousy, if you will, but, you know, still thinking to herself, you know, but I was the one though. I'm Neo, I'm the one. There's that, okay, all those other ones are just, they're like side chicks, you know what I mean? You know, I'm the main, I'm the queen bee. You know,
it's me,
yeah. So yeah, definitely for Jacob, Connie's been the one that he really truly fell in love with, and I think that was the case with Connie as well.
So what do you think? $1 million question here, but what do you think the future holds for them when we see them again in a few months' time?
Man, it's $1 million question. I wish I knew it, so I could spend that million. I tell you that. you know, I want to believe in my heart that they will be able to forge a long-term relationship. I want to believe in my heart that, you know, Jacob will propose to Connie and you know, and they have a wonderful wedding and you know, and maybe have another, you know, Connie decides to have another kid. In my world, that's what I want. You understand? But we are once again talking about Casualty. So, you know what I mean? You know, with these guys, it's all about drama, baby. Drama. Nothing is ever straight, smooth sailing. Come on. So, as much as I want it, I'm preparing myself for some kind of horrible scenario that just takes the situation left and it's just going to go all up in smoke in some shape or form. Unfortunately, I'm trying to be positive, but I still have to be skeptical because it's happened so many times in the past. Exactly. Yeah, they've gone back and forth so many times. Their relationship is very complicated. It's very complicated, you know. You have one that has commitment issues. The other is very headstrong, you know. And sometimes that combination energy can clash at times. Mm. And unfortunately with them, that's been the case. But who knows? Maybe in the new season, you know, they may be able to fix their differences and find a medium. I hope so.
Then there'll be a helicopter crash like last time and it'll all go wrong again.
All go wrong again. I know, man. Damn that flipping helicopter. I can't believe it. Can you believe that?
Blame the helicopter. Everything up.
Yeah, man. I'm blaming the helicopter. Absolutely. Definitely. That hell of a helicopter. Better not come back in my sight.
I never want to see a helicopter again.
I never want to see it again. I never want to see a rotor blade. I don't want to see nothing. That's it. Done.
So we've kind of just touched on this, but what do you think is in store for Jacob? Sort of in the long term, so like into next year.
I think what we'll see in store with Jacob is, you know, of course, a lot of medical drama, saving lives for sure. I believe that, you know, Jacob is a man that is definitely, he's searching for peace. I think he's you know, the kind of life that Jacob has led and, you know, his checkered past, you know, having a really fictitious, really bizarre relationship with his parents, particularly his mother. You know, Jacob was just wanted to be loved. He's really sought love. And, you know, and the closest he got to that was with Connie. So I think that in many ways over this period, I think Jacob will still be looking for that. Hopefully he's, like I said, once again, found it with Connie. I think that Jacob obviously right now is really reveling in his new position, or like I said, the revisiting of his position as, you know, staff nurse manager. And I think with him, it's about just cementing that. And really just trying to, I guess, leave as much of a legacy as he can career-wise. I think that he'd be focusing on that and just really just being a great, great nurse, man. That's what I think will happen. But of course, I think there'll be action along the way, you know what I mean? And you
always
know,
the way.
A lot of passionate kissing and you know, and all that good stuff. You know what I mean? Stuff that I find really hard to do, but I'm getting there. I'm
pushing through.
I'm pushing through. I'm going to get there.
So, Casualty is 35 next year, believe it or not. I mean, yeah, I know. It's mad, isn't it? So, what do you think is the secret to its longevity?
I think Casualty's longevity. It has been a long time. 35 years, man. I mean, it's surreal. I think I was around about 11, 12 when that show first aired. You know, I think its secret to success is the fact that it touches on real life issues and it doesn't shy away from them. It actually challenges them. It challenges them head on, no beating around the bush. We're talking about all forms of issues, whether it be domestic violence, whether it be a terminal illness, you know, dealing with, you know, epidemics. And it's ready to deal with them. You see what I mean? This is real life issues. These are things that the everyday man, everyday woman can relate to. The everyday man or woman has experienced or knows somebody that's gone through that. Do you know what I mean? And we try to be as organic and as real as possible with them. You know, we heighten the drama a little bit, of course, as you do. It's a medical drama after all. But I think that's at the fulcrum of it. It's about dealing with this reality. This is what happened. There's all of these things, all of these storylines that you've seen, all of these episodes are all steeped on something that has actually happened. There's nothing superfluous. There's nothing fake or exaggerated or embellished. Yeah. They've really happened in real life. So as a result, it's compelling viewing. And I think audiences just can't help keep their eyes off it as a result.
Do you have any idea what they'll do to market? Hopefully not another helicopter crash because... We don't want that.
Whoa, who knows, man? I mean, yeah, we don't want the helicopter thing, that's for sure. Most definitely. I mean, who knows? They may mark it with a wedding, a white wedding. I don't know who's it going to be. I don't know. I'm not joking. I don't know.
Ideas now. Yeah.
I know. You know what I mean? I ain't trying to send you up for the wrong garden path. No, I can imagine it would be another huge, you know, cataclysmic accident, you know, and obviously all hands on deck with this wonderful team, Holby team. I would imagine it'd be something of that nature, you know. You know, one thing is Casualty does is it never fails to disappoint. It's always going to give you that. A lot of REMs, you know, rapid eye movement. It's going to be action-packed in that sense. So, yeah, I think Casualty is just going to do what they always do, you know. Keep you on your edge of your seat, on your toes.
It's got a lot to live up to. The helicopter crash was great. We're only cross with it because it split Connie and Jacob up. Just disclaimer
100%.
There.
Exactly, 100%, Sophie. We're on the same page. I love that. I like what you've done there. It's true. Exactly that. Exactly that. We don't want the helicopters. I'm really, really, like, I've become helicopter phobic now if there's such a... heliphobic. I'm heliphobic. I'm heliphobic.
Where's
the
words?
Yeah. That's it. Yeah, that should, yeah. That's what we put in the textbooks, in the dictionaries now. Yeah, heliphobic. So, yeah, we're going to have to avoid that one. But, I think it'll be definitely something along those lines, you know, in terms of just action-packed, definitely.
Exciting.
Harrowing stuff.
Watch this space, yeah.
Watch this space. And I hope I'm at the centre of it.
Yes, you are. We hope that there's a wedding that Connie and Jacob walk off into the sunset.
I'm telling you, this is really strange. I'm not used to having this facial, honestly. Viewers at home, please make no mistake. This is only temporary. I will grow my facial hair back. Put it in the campaigns on Twitter. Jacob, facial hair back.
When did you shave it off? For everyone who can't see, Charles has got rid of his beard. But
yeah,
you won't be able to see that.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, they won't be able to see it. Absolutely. I mean, I'm highlighting it, aren't I? No. Yeah. Take that part out. Joking.
The shot.
I took it off about a couple of weeks ago.
Did you? Was it for filming purposes, or did you just have enough of it?
Absolutely for filming purposes, man. I'm a beard man. I'm a beard man all the way. You know what I mean? So yeah, having to take this off was difficult. I haven't seen my top lip in this shape for a good number of years. You know what I mean?
Very, very quickly. You were on Strictly a couple of years ago. Came sixth. Very, very impressive. Have you kept the dancing up? All important question.
Oh, I've kept the dancing up from Strictly, definitely, you know, in the nightclub. No, this is, yeah, pre-lockdown. I was in the clubs doing all the moves, man. I'm telling you, it was one of the best feelings knowing that I could burst into a jive, you know, or a waltz, or, you know, do a bit of salsa, do you know what I mean? The figure eights. I was able to just do these steps that I was instinctively trying to do, but now I know how to do them. Yeah. I've really enjoyed the fact that I have all of these dance steps in my head now. So yeah, when I'm on the dance floor, I'm pulling them all out now.
Never leaves you, does it?
No, it never leaves me, do you know what I mean? So I can't wait for the dance floor to be open up again, you know, whenever that's going to be, yeah. But right now, I'm doing them at home.
Brilliant. Thank you so much, Charles. It's great speaking to you.
You're very welcome. You too, Sophie, man. You too. Pleasure.
Right. Bye.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Well, there you go. I hope you enjoyed that that conversation with Charles. Sophie, it sounds like he was a real kind of joy to speak to, very kind of friendly guy, which is always nice.
Yeah, very friendly. I think he actually forgot that we couldn't see him. Well, you're not going to be able to see him when this goes out, because he was talking about the fact that he'd got rid of his beard. So he was very freshly shaven. That is part of a story that you'll see when Casualty returns later, at some later date.
Right, that's funny. Well, speaking of things returning and kind of what's in store for us, I think it's probably time that we look at some spoilers. This is the part of the show where we kind of do a deep dive into the spoilers for Emmerdale, EastEnders, Corrie and Hollyoaks. This week, we're looking at the week from the 19th to the 23rd of October. And shall we start with EastEnders?
I think so. And that sounds like a good idea. So first up in EastEnders, we're going to talk about the ongoing saga of Raymond and Phil's determination to get custody of him again.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to say this now. I think I was one of those people that I couldn't quite, when all the stuff with Denise was unfolding, and I was like, that surely this isn't Raymond, because I kind of have blanked out the whole Denise Phil thing from my mind.
I think most people have, haven't they? It's the only thing you can do.
Yeah. It's exciting. So yeah, Denise, as we've seen kind of Phil decide that he wants to get more involved in Raymond's life and sees this as an opportunity, it seems to kind of rebuild something like a family. Denise finds out that he's been trying to get in touch with Raymond and trying to see Raymond, and manages to get Ellie to cut them off.
I mean, the problem is that Phil wants a full-time custody of him again. And, you know, as we know, Phil's track record isn't exactly squeaky clean. Yeah. So he's going to be told next week that by Richie, you know, the trusty Mitchell lawyer. Yeah,
classic Richie.
Yeah, always comes in a crisis. But yeah, she tells him that, you know, really and truly, it's not looking likely.
I mean, like you said, Sophie, I could have told him that. I could have told him that there's no court in the world, Phil, that's going to be like, yeah, sure, Phil Mitchell, you can have full custody over this kid.
Yeah, everything else is forgotten and here's your child. So he's going to be involving Callum. Obviously, we've seen already Callum is quite eager to help, but is also under the thumb of D.I. Thompson, his boss at the police force.
I know, poor baby sweet Callum. I just don't know. He's just like trapped in between a proper rock and a hard place where I don't know why he's got himself in this situation. Yeah, between Thompson and then Phil on either side. And he seems, I just can't see a world in which this doesn't end up with him being, you know, way over his head.
I know, he's definitely getting in too deep, isn't he? And I think he's going to be doing some digging next week. He's going to be making some discoveries about Ellie. We can't reveal that, but
yeah, it seems like Phil's aim is to kind of prove, if he can't get custody of Raymond, he wants to prove that Ellie's kind of unfit to be a parent.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, Callum's going to do some digging for him and try not to kind of be noticed by Thompson. But it seems like, yes, things kind of quickly escalate there.
I know. So unlike Callum, isn't he? Mm. Isn't it? It's not in keeping with his personality at all, really. But yeah, we'll have to see. I think it looks like he's going to be getting in too deep, unfortunately.
And then elsewhere on the square, other couples in trouble. We've got the situation with Habiba. And obviously, last week we saw Jags kind of be kicked out or arrested. Mm. Which I think we spoke about being kind of gutted about, because he's a great character.
Yeah.
And so we're going to see some more of the fallout of this week. Habiba kind of takes this word with Ash, where she's like, you know, you should be supporting your brother in court. And she kind of ends up just being kind of really angry and devastated that the Panasars aren't kind of standing up or kind of turning up for their brother.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Ash is obviously feeling really guilty because she knows that what's happened to Jags. I mean, he's left now. We don't see him again. She knows that what's happened to him is wrong, but Habiba isn't aware of that, so she just sees it as them all turning their back on him.
Yeah.
And it's all very difficult, especially for Ikra, because she's now got to decide where her loyalties lie.
Yeah, it's all going to come to a head, I think, from what we know, that with Habiba kind of basically tying to Ikra and saying, you have to choose between me or Ash, like, she's betrayed her brother, Ash has to kind of get out, and you have to choose, she kind of gives Ikra this ultimatum about, you know, her sister or her girlfriend. So we shall see how that pans out.
Yeah, it's not ideal, is it?
No. And then the big, I guess, I mean, quite a few things happening in the square this week. But yeah, the big thing that we've got our eye on is that another ongoing saga of Stacey and Ruby.
Yes. So this one is a strange one. So they've obviously fallen out in a big way. Ruby has married Martin, which Stacey's a little bit gutted about. But next week, Stacey's a little bit loose-tongued, shall we say, in front of Lily, who's listening in. And she repeats what Stacey... Obviously, Stacey and Ruby have been friends for a very, very long time. And Stacey knows kind of how to hit Ruby where it hurts, where it comes to her dad. And Lily goes and repeats everything to Ruby just when it looks like their friendship could be
rekindled.
Salvaged.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's a little bit of a shame, shall we say. And then by the end of the week, I mean, it's all very difficult for Stacey because obviously Ruby's got a lot of money, a lot of power, a lot more contacts. So she feels that she's...
Yeah, Ruby's become this kind of like powerhouse in the square. It's quite interesting to have seen over the past like 18 months, she's really come into her... Like she has all these connections, obviously, with different characters. But yeah, she's kind of become this kind of big... This big businesswoman, and then also obviously all of her kind of shady dealings. It's interesting.
Yeah, definitely. So when it comes to the children, Stacey's children, I think she's worried that Ruby has the power and the ability to take them away. And she heads over to confront her at the club, but en route she is attacked by a hooded figure.
It's been a while since we've had like a mysterious attack in Albert Square, so I think we were probably overdue one.
Definitely. And I think the question is... Well, you'll find out in the episode, but who is responsible? Is it something to do with Ruby, or is it just one big coincidence?
Yeah, because I think we know that Kush has got some kind of issues with some debts, and so there's kind of a few potential suspects up in the air. But yeah, we'll have to wait and see till the end of next week to find out exactly what's in store.
Yeah, tune in Thursday, Friday. I think the big episode's there. Right, so shall we jump onto Hollyoaks because we are heading into... Well, no, we are in Hollyoaks' anniversary week next week, which is really exciting. So the big story playing out, well, there's two big stories, but we'll start with the McQueen blackmail plot, which is all very sinister, isn't it?
Yes. I mean, we spoke about it last week of being this kind of like very funny, not funny, but like Halloween, kind of spooky Halloween storyline, which is quite fun. With this creepy doll and these threatening kind of letters.
Yeah, so this doll's got some beef on them, really. Like, you know, it appears to know all their secrets. I mean, it could be anyone and they could know any number of things. But the first secret that sort of unravels is involving Silver and the fact that he killed Breida, his mum. I mean, it was in self-defence, but unfortunately...
It was Breida, so, you know.
Exactly. Evil Breida, but yeah, unfortunately, he gets arrested and... Yeah, it's game on, really. They don't know who it is, and the clock is ticking.
Yeah, the doll kind of, from what we've seen this week, the doll is going to kind of reveal one secret at a time, potentially, over the next few weeks. And yeah, it threatens to kind of out Silver. They think they've got the better of it, and then we end up in the, like you say, by the end of the week, Silver's been arrested. So
yeah, and Mercedes is determined, as Mercedes often is, to tackle it. Head on, not be afraid. And they end up having this sort of bizarre party. I don't really understand why you'd have a party in these circumstances, but they do. And then this mysterious culprit is watching on.
Yeah, we've seen this great kind of spoiler photo of them all having a little boogie in the hutch with someone kind of creepily looking on through the window. So yeah, it'd be fun to see kind of how this plays out.
Yeah, it's all very sinister, isn't it? Just in time, as you say, for Halloween.
And then the other big Hollyoaks kind of anniversary storyline is the shock return of Kurt. Jeremy Edwards is back on the show. I vaguely remember this, but obviously Kurt left the show, you know, 20 years ago now, back in 1999.
Yeah.
And he kind of died off screen, as they say, on a jet ski, in a jet ski accident while he was travelling.
Yeah.
But he's back.
Exactly, he's back. We never saw his body, which is often a little bit of a clue in soaps. But yeah, he's back. And it looks like he could be sticking around. We spoke to Sarah Jane Dunn. You'll hear her interview in next week's episode. And we got a bit of gossip on that, but yeah, that's a big one, I think. That's a big one.
It seems like the first thing he does is kind of reunite with Tony, his best friend, who's still in the show, of course. There's some quotes from Jeremy Edwards, like I say, who plays Kurt, going around where he's talking about how he's been on the character's been on the run for a long time and kind of wants to come back to his old life. So yeah, it looks like he'll be sticking around. Yeah. And yeah, and also like you said, Sophie, we had a great conversation with Sarah Jane Dunn, who plays Mandy, which you'll hear next week on Friday, the anniversary. And she talks a little bit about what it was like kind of having some of those older cast members come back. So yeah, it's a really good conversation. So I would definitely, if you're a Hollyoaks fan, look out for that one.
Yeah, tune in next week. But yeah, those scenes look great. And apparently they were great fun to film. Yeah. So I think that should be really exciting if you're a long-term Hollyoaks fan, definitely. As well as a newer one.
Definitely, definitely.
Right, moving on to Corey, where it's another tricky one, really. Should we start with Todd?
Yes.
He's very much back in Weatherfield, but he's going to be, unsurprisingly, causing a lot of trouble for Billy and poor Paul.
I know. I mean, from Ben and Callum to Ikra to, you know, Billy, it's not a good time to be in a same-sex relationship in Soapland this week, it doesn't seem like. Because, yeah,
no.
Todd's come back, like you said, and kind of, we knew this was going to happen, but it seems like he's really here to stir up some trouble between Billy and Paul.
Yeah, so he wastes no time in winding Paul up and really making him feel quite insecure about his relationship with Billy. I think Paul starts to think that really he is second best, and Billy, like the love of Billy's life is Todd. And I think that's slightly implied after Billy has a conversation with Todd. And even though he stays loyal to Paul, he leaves and we see tears in his eyes, suggesting that he is still holding a torch for Todd.
And you know, what we've seen of Todd so far back on the street is that, like, he's not here to kind of mess around. He's here to scheme and do various nefarious things. And this would be another kind of scheme that he's got up to, would be to try and split them up. So expect to see more drama with that as it unfolds next week, definitely.
Yeah, definitely. And speaking of drama, very sadly, there is more turbulence on the way in the ongoing Leanne Oliver plot. So next week, Nick has this offer from Natasha, who really kindly wants to help the Oliver's fund for legal fees and treatment.
Yeah, she wants to donate, the character wants to donate £20,000 to the fund, which is pretty generous of her.
Definitely, but I think Nick doesn't tell Leanne, and there's a reason for that, and that is that he just doesn't think that there's any hope at this stage. And that's obviously when Leanne finds out that Natasha has offered this money and Nick hasn't told her, that's really devastating for her, and she thinks that Nick's given up on Oliver completely.
Yeah, it's been such a sad, obviously seeing this storyline play out has just been so kind of sad over the past few weeks, and it just seems like it's not going to end, kind of, unfortunately, isn't like it's going to end happily anytime soon.
No, it's really sad. Yeah, and Steve comes back from abroad next week as well, and he hasn't got good news, unfortunately. I think the doctors don't think that Oliver's case is worth taking over there. It's a really, really difficult one, but the actors are just doing
I was just gonna say you know, a huge credit to Jane Danson and Ben
Simon.
Price for and Simon and Ben Price, just for kind of the performances in this storyline have just been, you know, top notch for weeks now. So it's they're a real credit to the show.
Yeah, it's really dividing the audience as well. I've been seeing loads of different opinions on Twitter, especially there's a scene last week with Tracy where she told Steve that she wasn't going to be selling her business to help. And I think, you know, lots of people were agreeing with her points, but it's a really difficult.
Yeah, it's a really kind of interesting storyline with lots of different kind of angles and involving lots of people's kind of faves from the show in lots of ways.
Yeah.
So yeah, seeing them all kind of
absolutely
interacting this way has been really compelling TV.
Right. And finally, last, but as always, not least, we have Emmerdale. Yeah. So the big talking point in Emmerdale really is to do with the ongoing hit and run saga involving Jamie Tate. Where
that's my Jamie Tate sigh as he kind of continues to get away with this.
Yeah, you see the mood sort of go down, don't you? We're talking. Oh dear, but yeah. So Belle is really struggling. She's come off her medication, and I think that, you know, there's lots of concern about how she's going to cope if she ends up going to prison.
Yeah.
And then we see Nate step up. He cares about her. He sort of learns about her history of mental health, and offers to take the rap, but obviously he has a baby on the way.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how this goes. Like, we've seen the kind of the Dingles rally round Belle as they know the truth, and I think lots of people, there's a quote from the actor that plays Nate talking about how, you know, one of the fallout of him kind of doing this, making this offer is that, like, Kane kind of is impressed. And, like, it's just interesting to see, yeah, like I say, that family rally round Belle. But, yeah, we'll see whether it's a good idea from Nate to do this or not.
Yeah, and I don't think Tracy's going to be very happy. No.
Which is fair enough, really.
Well, exactly. I think she sees it as him choosing the Dingles over their little family unit. And so, yeah, he's going to be very torn. So what is he going to do? Wait and see.
And then speaking of Dingles, on the other side of the farm, as it were, we kind of... I mean, if you cast your mind back, I guess this would have been
like 3 weeks
now. Yeah. We spoke to Lisa Riley about... the kind of ongoing Paul, Mandy, Vinny situation and what was going to come from that. And it seems like, as we sort of predicted then, that Paul's kind of villainous turn is definitely kind of underway, as we see this week, that he's definitely started kind of gambling again, which we sort of already knew. And Vinny's going to kind of discover evidence that he's been stealing to feed that gambling habit. And then obviously, at the end of the week, it looks like there's going to be some sort of kind of violent confrontation between the two. Sadly.
Yeah, it's all going to get very dark, isn't it? Mm. So yeah, he steals from Ellis, causing a big fight between Ellis and Billy. And then, yeah, by the end of the week, he lashes out at Vinny, which is shocking, really.
Yeah,
isn't
really
it?
Shocking. Yeah, I would definitely recommend, if you haven't listened to that, our interview with Lisa Riley, to go back and listen to, because she said some interesting things about Paul then and kind of just talks about how, you know, where Mandy's kind of blinkers are on when it comes to Paul, and you know, she is she going to be able to see through his lies and what it will take to kind of for that to happen. So I would definitely recommend having a quick listen to that if you haven't.
Yeah, it all makes sense as well, because she was giving like some teasers into the future, which is kind of now. We are in that future. So yes, definitely go find that one if you're an Emmerdale fan and give it a listen.
Yeah. And with that, I think that's all the spoilers we've got for this week. I mean, it's a pretty, if you're with us this far, it's a pretty grim week for in Soapland, it seems like. We've got lots of confrontations, which hopefully will mean we've got some kind of resolutions across the different shows in the next few weeks, I think. I mean, the stuff in EastEnders is still up in the air, but it looks like, from my point of view, certainly in Emmerdale, and Hollyoaks to a certain degree, we're getting to kind of some really kind of juicy finales. So we'll have to keep an eye on all of those things. And obviously next week we'll be digging into the next lot of spoilers. But yeah, exciting times.
Yep. And as always, let us know what you think and what you are most looking forward to.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, you can let us know on Twitter by going to @SoapScoop. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/digitalspysoaps. And if you want to recap on any of the spoilers that we talked about, you can always head over to digitalspy.com/soaps, where Sophie and the team kind of write up all of the juiciest tidbits, so you know kind of what's happening and when it's coming to screens.
Indeed. And yeah, in the meantime, don't forget to subscribe, leave us a review, leave us any feedback, and we will see you next week.
Thanks, guys. See you soon. Bye.
Bye.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.